The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a Thursday, and Dom, I don't know if this will be the greatest radio show ever, but it will certainly be the most litigious.
One of many, I would imagine, Crudy. Good to see you. Rich on the board, our fair audience. Happy, happy Friday Eve. Welcome to the political party.
I'm very excited. And I'm especially excited that we've got James Santel, our friend, former U.S. attorney, joining us in the 5 o'clock happier happy hour. You know, to really clarify not just the Supreme Court testimony. Dom, I committed hours. I've been doing my homework all day long for this show.
Yeah, all right. You take any notes, Crudy?
Right up here.
It's all, yeah, great.
Right up here. Well, we've got sound bites. You don't want to hear it from Crudy. In the 4 o'clock hour, we'll play some of the sound, the oral testimony. I like the fact we can hear it live now. Very intriguing. I found it very intriguing, Dom. Our friend, Jim Santel, very impressed by the, I guess, the guy who's there on behalf of, the Department of Justice, Michael Dreeben. Jim really, really liked that guy. We'll find out why. But Tom, talking about guys you really, really like.
Yeah.
Well, there's a new executive director over at the WIS GOP. And you know what really like this guy? Scotty Walker, the wanker.
Oh, yeah?
You know what Scott Walker's plan was? Wreaking havoc.
That's right. That was a tenet of Scott Walker. Besides divide and conquer, let's not forget, there were a couple of planks to the Scott Walker platform.
Moving Wisconsin forward.
Forward.
I will not back down.
Back down.
Yeah, he had a few. I joked the other day. And I'm not joking. He has maybe an hour's worth of life material. And he's filled in on right-wing talk radio before, like, 3-hour shift. Oh, he's done. In hour one, he's done. Better line up some callers, because the wanker, yeah, he's got right. 1 hour of interesting material. Interesting only if you're, you know, a sycophant. But this guy might be. Daniel Bice, our pal over at Page 6, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting. Wreak havoc. New GOP had urged staffer to inundate a black group with Trump calls in 2020. Well, they wanted to, what, flood the zone during Souls to the Polls, Tom? Carlton Huffman isn't the best source for a story. That's how it begins. But you quote him right from line one. Right. And Tom, who is this Carlton Huffman?
You know, when I first started reading this Bice piece at the Journal Sentinel, oh my God, for some reason that name sounds familiar. And I had to look him up, and I found this on the CNN. Let's see, when is this dated? March 27th, updated, just in March. Huffman received a $480,000 settlement through an insurance company from the American Conservative Union, because apparently Matt Schlapp, the chairman thereof, was sexually assaulting him in a car.
That's the CPAC guy?
Yeah, Schlapp. He's the CPAC guy. He was the one who allegedly did the sexual assault against this guy, Carlton Huffman, and their insurance company paid out a $480,000 settlement. That's the guy we're talking about. Well, that's one of the guys we're talking about. The other is the new executive director at the Wisconsin GOP. Might I just add, Republican Party's in disarray.
Dominic, there's just a little bit more here. Because remember what I used to always do? Whenever someone would have really bad news, they'd get arrested, indicted, whatever the case may be. If you Googled their name next to Scott Walker, invariably there'd be a photograph with him and, you know, Serge or Maria Butina.
Right, his Russian girlfriend.
Or really any ne'er-do-well in the Republican Party. I mean, Scott Walker's on a rope line with at least a photograph taken of those people. Not that those count. Who told us that? Trump in court. That doesn't count. That doesn't rope line. Right. E. Jean Carroll doesn't count because, you know, I only met her on a celebrity rope line. Interesting headline I find here, Dom. That Carlton Huffman guy. North Carolina legislative staffer with Wisconsin ties. History of extremist views. Well, Dom, apparently he resigned. And this January of last year, 2023, just a little bit from the Wisconsin Examiner, Carlton Huffman had a long record of espousing controversial views about race, immigrants, and North Carolina history. Go Tar Heels! Before he started a job with the General Assembly earlier this month, and according to an online staff listing, Huffman, who previously worked for the Republican Party of Wisconsin, that's probably the Scott Walker connection, and was political director of the Fond du Lac County District Attorney Eric Toney's campaign for Attorney General. Did you know all that, Dom?
Only from the article from Vice.
And was on the staff of the Joint Legislative Committee of Government Operations working for the House Republican majority. That brief tenure ended yesterday. However, when first reported by WRAL, Raleigh's news leader, Dom, Huffman resigned. And Huffman appeared on, where did they always go? Righty Whitey Talk Radio in 2009 and 10 called the Political Cesspool. On one episode, he discussed cultural genocide in the South. In another about European politics, Huffman praised Dutch politician Geert Wilder as a firebrand critic of Islam who stands up for our European people. He lauded the far-right British National Party, which wants to end all immigration into Britain, for standing up for white Europeans left in Great Britain. One of those guys, Dom, an anonymous tip about
a lot of those guys around these days.
Emailed to journalists Wednesday included links to Political Cesspool radio interviews and blog posts in which Huffman allegedly used a pseudonym. See what I did there, Dom?
Good job, Crudy.
I still think it should be pseudonym, but anyways. An anonymous tip about Huffman emailed, Huffman told WRAL he was once a member of the White Supremacist Council of Christian Citizens, but left when it openly expressed anti-Semitism.
You got to draw the line somewhere, man.
Now, Huffman did not return a phone call to this place seeking information, but that's interesting. I just want to get that on the record as well, because I'm learning about this man's character in real time, Dom.
We are. Jumping down in the bottom of the piece of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Daniel Bice. After Trump's defeat in 2020, Huffman went to work in the 2022 cycle for a couple unsuccessful Republican campaigns. Gubernatorial candidate Kevin Nicholson, I didn't know that one. You already mentioned Attorney General candidate Eric Toney. Then Huffman, a native of North Carolina, headed south to help out then U.S. Senate candidate Herschel Walker. And we all know how that worked out.
You know, there's more here right from the get-go on this guy. I think I undersold the Bice piece, the page 6. Carlton Huffman isn't the best source for a story. That's how he started, and I kind of jumped around. Here's how he writes it. Daniel Bice, blackballed from the party he used to work for, bound by a restraining order for sending a threatening and racist message to a Republican Party official, fired from his North Carolina job after his old white supremacist views came to light, and accused last year of sexual battery. But Huffman, a 40-year-old, former, it says, GOP operative, that's only because he's unemployable, has something no one disputes, a couple of provocative 2020 text messages from Andrew Iverson, the new executive director of the Wisconsin Republican Party.
And so the new executive director from the Wisconsin Republican Party is communicating with this former GOP operative who espoused racist views.
He's this a good guy. Wisconsin boy.
Okay. Just want to be clear on who we're talking about.
So the new guy, Andrew Iverson, the new executive director of the Wisconsin Republican Party, he's the one that sent out these new text messages, Tom. So 2 days before the 2020 election, on November 3rd, that would be 2020, I guess, Tom, Iverson told the people on then-President Donald Trump's campaign in Wisconsin to continue to fan the flame and get the word out about Democrats trying to steal this election.
Yeah, there you go. You're not a good, honorable, and loyal Republican mega GOP operative if you don't push the big lie.
Well, the party line, the big lie, Tom, was already started days before the election, right? Weeks, months. But then Iverson, at that time, the state head of Trump Victory, Tom.
Victory!
A joint operation of the Trump campaign and the Republican National Committee. That's the one they could take the massive donations at the end, right? They all had a victory campaign. Just be on standby in case there's any stunts we need to pull.
Oh, that's what the executive director of the Wisconsin Republican Party said right before the 2020 election. Well, be on standby in case there's any stunts we need to pull.
Well, Dom, but one political stunt may have already been broached. Here's the stunt we talk about on Election Day 2020. 2 days earlier, Iverson sent two text messages to Huffman, who was then the Trump Victory State Strategic Initiative Director. They've all got very exciting titles now. We need bigger titles. Encouraging him to get a bunch of Trump supporters to fill Souls to the Polls, a Black Get Out the Vote organization with requests to be taken to go vote. You know, here's the interesting part. We'll come back. We'll tell you how this story turns out. But I suspect they would have gotten the rides.
Yeah,
they would. Now, how well they would have been received in their full MAGA regalia in Metro Milwaukee? You know, and when they showed up and people watched them march in because they're going to their own polling places and realized, well, maybe these people don't exactly live in these districts. Maybe they're not eligible to vote there.
So if they're not eligible to vote there, don't live in the district, why would they need a Souls to the Polls ride?
Well, I'm sure there's lots of MAGAs living in Bronzeville. Come back. Yeah. More Devil's Advocates.
Not clear on that. Let's hit it and quit. Can we hit it and quit? Yeah. Can we hit it and quit? Yeah.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
And Tom, welcome to those joining us post-Brewers game. Brewers win.
All right.
7-5. I was actually listening on the way in, and Sanchez, the backup catcher, hit a two-run dinger in the eighth, top of the eighth. Brewers were down 5-4. They jumped up 6-5, and then they added an insurance run in the top of the ninth, and they held on, man. But he hit that off 102-mile-per-hour fastball.
Ooh,
that damn. Chapman guy, he was struggling. When a guy is up there throwing over 100 miles per hour, his sinker's throwing upper 90s, 99 on the sinker, 103 on the fastball some pitches. And the guy was a little wild. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't have a lot of control. So you're kind of standing a little out of the box anyways. But Sanchez came third dinger of the year, and he's the backup catcher. This guy's got a lot of power. Reminds me of a young Crudy. Dude, I couldn't even imagine. Man. Like 102 mile per hour. There is no way in hell I would stand up there and let a guy throw that pitch by me. Not that guy with the wild control, Chapman. No thanks.
No, thank you.
I would just take my three strikes and head back to the minors.
Hope for a ball, man.
So welcome, Brewers fans. Very excited. They split the series, but they won the last two. So that's good news. I'm a homer, if you don't know it.
Yes, you are.
Yes. NFL draft starts tonight as well.
I know, man. Cousin Joe's sending me pictures as we speak from Detroit right now. Looks beautiful out there.
It's got to be crazy there. You know, that would have been a good setting the stage for next year. Next year's going to be in Green Bay, dude. A three-day party. They're expecting 350,000 people. Ooh. Where are you going to put them all?
Wow.
People will be, Airbnb. And did you see they were representing Airbnbs? I saw this at Urban Milwaukee yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Up to $7,000 a night for the RNC. There's going to be some disappointed homeowners. I don't think people are stepping up $7,000 a night to rent your house during the RNC. And I don't care how nice your house is. It's not going to happen. $50,000 for the week, some had. It's effectively a four-day week. You know, you could say, we're staying till Friday because the party is on Thursday night. But I'm not even sure that the Republicans will be celebrating. I saw something over at Salon today. Are we sure that Trump's still going to be the nominee when they get to Milwaukee?
I it's crazy. The older we get, the faster the time goes, obviously, right? So, but it's also beyond that. The days we live, the experiences we have right now, the political environment in which we are engaging will not be the same a month from now or 3 months from now or 6 months from now, certainly. So, yeah. Good luck if you can get $7,000 a night. That if you got like a four-bedroom home and you got a bunch of people coming, I can see how you might be able to maybe get close to that number.
Better be on the lakeshore.
Well, then you got to also want to, give up your house and move out. If you're not like already have an active Airbnb with your own personal space kind of locked off and those kinds of things. Like if you're actively living in your home and
you're going to cohabitate with the Republicans that rent the house for seven grand.
You got to pack the stuff up, stick it in the basement, block it behind the door and get out of Dodge. I mean, for $7,000 a night, that'll pay the rent for a while.
No one would pay that to stay at. Well, we'll find out what the going rate is on the futon because I'll be staying at Shea Salvia, I hope. That was kind of my informal plan, the futon in the den.
Well, you have to get on Evolve and put your request in. I'm sure a customer service will get back to you promptly.
The part I don't like, cohabitating with the host. Dom, let's get back to the wreaking havoc. Now, Carlton Huffman, the disgraced former Wisconsin Tide GOP operative who's telling this story to Daniel Pice, provided some receipts. He's got some texts from this Andrew Iverson, who is the new executive director of the Wisconsin Republican Party, and it gets a little sordid. On election day, 2020, 2 years ago, Iverson, this is the new Republicans executive director, sent two text messages to Huffman, who was then Trump's Victory State Strategic Initiative director, encouraging him to get a bunch of Trump supporters to fill Souls to the Polls, a Black Get Out the Vote organization, with request to be taken to vote. Can Mario Herrera, head of the Hispanic Outreach for Trump Victory, help get some Trump supporters to participate in Souls to the Polls? Iverson told Huffman at 9:45 a.m. on November 3rd, 2020. Can't wait to go vote for President Trump wearing MAGA hat or something. This, again, a text message. I'm excited about this. Wreak havoc. That was Scott Walker's presidential motto, wasn't it, Dom? For the afternoon, and they'll make it clear they're excited to vote for Trump, question mark?
Now, I'm not clear you can, even if they were going to exercise this plan, that you could wear that political gear into the polls.
Well, that'd be electioneering, Dom. Now, in a statement, Iverson said this week that text messages were jokes. Well, he had specific people and executable parts of the plan, Dom. But, that's how we tell the jokes at the GOP.
I was kidding.
They weren't supposed to be taken seriously. They said, can Mario get some of Trump supporters to participate in Souls to the Polls? We read that part. I'm excited about this. Wreak havoc for the afternoon, and they'll make it clear they're excited to vote for Trump. Well, there was more than that, Dom. I've seen some others.
Can't read them all aloud, though. Huffman said he never took them that way. Of course, Iverson said it was a joke. Huffman said He never took him as a joke. He said Iverson clearly was trying to overwhelm and discourage Souls to the polls. A Milwaukee group with strong ties to Democrats by forcing the group to spend valuable resources on Trump supporters who may or may not have voted to various polling locations in Milwaukee. The plan could have suppressed the black vote in the state, Huffman said. Huffman said he decided not to carry through with the director because he considered it unethical and racist. He said he neither called Herrera nor lined up any Trump voters, but Iverson, he said, called him twice to see how the effort called Operation Rat F was going. Huffman said he lied, claiming it was going well. Rat F to jam up the Souls to the polls so, you know, the black people can't vote. Seems like a great idea. This is a guy who's now the executive director of the Wisconsin GOP. Wow, you really got some winners over there.
Huffman claims there was a red line for me, and that was being told to do anything that was immoral. People tried to cross his red lines more than once, didn't they, Dom?
They certainly did.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open. We'll get to the Trump. 844-967-2789.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. Can't wait to turn to the Trump. Got some sound of Eric Hudvey taking more unpopular positions. We'll play that for you in just a minute, Don. But let's put a bow on this interaction between the new executive director of the Wisconsin Republican Party, Iverson, and this Huffman character who's kind of had a disgraceful career up until now. And he levels these charges against Iverson, the new executive director, that they wanted to rat F the Souls to the polls.
Operation Rat F. Yes.
That's what they were calling it. But Huffman claims, oh, you know, I didn't act on it.
I have a line. I cannot cross. You shall not pass.
Let me jump back into the page six, the Daniel Bice piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Huffman, now an anti-Trump independent, said he's been having qualms about the campaign for some time and that this pushed him over the line. He said that he told himself, I'm not doing this. I had some concerns leading up to that point, but I just kept my head down, did my job, and kept my mouth shut otherwise, Huffman said, reflecting back on his time at Trump Victory. But I said, there's a red line for me. I know I've read this. And that was being told to do anything that was immoral. That's what he claims. But a text exchange between Huffman and Herrera, again, this was the Latino outreach person over at Trump Victory on Election Day 2020, shows that Huffman did not respond with moral outrage at that time.
Not at that time.
Instead, Huffman appears complicit in the effort to inundate Souls to the polls with calls from Trump supporters. Know some people who want to bleep with the Democrats, Huffman wrote Herrera on November 3rd, 2020. Have our people spam their Souls to the polls hotline. Just say they want to ride and be wearing their Trump stuff. A little bit more, Huffman said Thursday he didn't remember sending these texts to Herrera, but they look authentic. Did they come from your cell phone? Anyways, he said he did not take any other action in response to Iverson. Well, the last time you told the story, you said you didn't take any action. You sound like Ron Johnson out there with the moving goalpost.
It's okay. Winter rules.
Now, Dom, on Thursday, Herrera said he doesn't understand Huffman's claim that Iverson was trying to suppress the black vote. There was nothing racial about it, Herrera said. I don't know what Carlton's talking about. Huffman said he's speaking out now because of Iverson's appointment as executive director of the Republican Party of the state of Wisconsin. Huffman said he wants people to know what he did back on Election Day 2020. Well, hell, your whole party is scattered with people with bad reputations. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Brad Schimming, the new executive director. Well, I guess he's, what, the head of the GOP. He's tied into the January 6th. At least he was complicit in the conspiracy. There's a lot of people. Anyways, a little bit more. Iverson, a Wisconsin native. Again, I know we started this way, Dom. Most recently served as regional political director for the Republican National Committee. Along with leading Trump victory in Wisconsin, Iverson also worked on the campaigns of U.S. Republican Senator Ron Johnson, there's Rojo, and U.S. Rep. Brian Steil of Janesville. And, Mark Jefferson. Well, he was the outgoing. Why'd he leave? Well, Dom, so he could make more money as the executive director of the Tavern League of Wisconsin. And that's why we can't have legal marijuana.
No, I've heard the Tavern League is not against it. A little more here from Vice. Iverson had a very different take on the text messages he sent to Huffman on election day of 2020. Iverson had hired Huffman as his strategic initiative director in 2019. He did not deny sending both texts. For Iverson, it was all a joke. He said he got into politics to make sure that every single Wisconsinite that is legally allowed to vote has the opportunity to do so, not to suppress the vote anywhere.
Well, you're not going to put that on your statement to Dan Bice. Hey, man, they really hired me to rat F the Democratic get out the vote effort. No one claims that that's part of the job description.
Well, I mean, it'd be one thing. I mean, Democratic, sure, but this is specifically souls to the polls, man. This is specifically getting the black vote out. Here's what he says. In 2020, I jokingly offered a scenario of Trump supporters utilizing a Democrat-aligned get-out-the-vote effort to ensure Republicans also made it out to the polls, he said in a statement. It was a spur-of-the-moment thought, and nothing more came of it. In his statement, Iverson did not say whether he had named the effort Operation Rat F, as Huffman claimed. The term is used for covert dirty tricks in politics. But Iverson did take a big swipe at his former staffer. Oh, the disarray part, Crudy. He said these texts are coming to light only because of a disgruntled colleague who has a history of fabricating the truth and was fired for threatening his coworkers and espousing white supremacist views, is recounting his drunk remembrances to try to absolve his own failings. That's what Iverson said about the guy that used to work for him. Well, you didn't know these qualities when you hired him in the first place, Iverson?
Dominic, more on Huffman, your buddy. In August of 2020, Huffman said he was told to circulate hundreds of flyers on the first day of the scaled-back Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee, picturing then-Vice President nominee Kamala Harris as a cop, with hopes the media would blame disgruntled supporters of U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders.
Oh, come on.
They're either going to blame Crudy or Bernie Sanders every damn time, Dom. Huffman said he got a pay raise after paying a volunteer to do this, though it got no media attention.
Not everything is going to go viral, Crudy. All you can do is try.
So they've also got a whole section on his many personal issues, including the settlement from Matt Slapp. Now, no one deserves to be the victim of sexual assault, but it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Oh, my. Bice really laying it out here between showing us and explaining to us that, the background and character of these two gentlemen, your new executive director of the Wisconsin GOP. Congratulations, Mega. You really, really knocked out of the park with this one.
They'll be very excited to welcome defendant Donald Trump to Waukesha next Wednesday, Dom. This one happened immediately after we left the airwaves yesterday. But let me be the first to tell you, Trump's back. He's coming to Waukesha, the Expo Center. We saw Mitt Romney there one time. Remember that? Looked like Plastic Man, like a lawn sprinkler.
Yeah, he looked like a sprinkler. He's looking side to side, very, very robotic and flat toned, flat affect.
Back when we thought having a binder full of women was a big deal.
all the good old days.
Yeah, the good old days indeed. Well, Trump's going to come on back. Last time we saw Trump in Waukesha, Dom, well, that was, I believe, August of 2022. And we went shortly before the primary, and he was there with your boy Michaels. And Michaels called the Wisconsinites lazy.
Lazy.
Not the ones there at the
Oh, relatively small Trump patriots that would join President Trump and Tim Michaels on the campaign trail, but also in the backyard of Rebecca Clayfish, right? This was right at that point.
Well, they came to stick it to Rebecca Clayfish because her daughter had the gumption to go on a Plutonic homecoming date with Hagedorn's kid, who happened to be the 4-3 to vote against
Wisconsin
consideration of throwing out 200,000 absentee ballots. Hagedorn said, no, the rule of law does not support this. Even I will not go this far. And then, you know, his kid invited out Clayfish's kid, and the rest is history. Someone took it to Mar-a-Lago. I mean, literally, this is the story.
I know, dude. You
can't. Someone traveled to Mar-a-Lago with a prom or homecoming picture, this formal event picture that these two kids went to, supposedly plutonically, and that was enough to enrage Trump, and that was enough to get him to come to Waukesha, to come to Rebecca Clayfish's backyard, and campaign against her on behalf of Tim Michaels. You know, the carpetbagger Wisconsinites are lazy, and I'm down for no abortion, even in cases of rape or incest. That guy.
Oh, wait. Tim Michaels or Eric Hovde? I mean, it's hard to differentiate these out-of-state millionaires as they, you know, degradate the citizens of Wisconsin.
Well, I've got to think, Dom. Eric Hovde will be on the stage in Waukesha. You would think he would be there. You know, if he's in state, if he's not back at the bank in Laguna Beach, I got to think candidate Eric Hovde is going to want to be there. He needs some good press. He's really had a run of bad press. And while there's still time, let's see if we can contribute to that, Dom. Here's some old press, but still, I still think it reflects the man's sentiments.
Now, I mean, is it old if it's the first time I'm hearing it because it's new to me?
Well, you should have heard it because even during the greatest radio show ever, I believe Better Wisconsin Fund, one of the PACs that is currently supporting Tammy Baldwin, is running anti-Eric Hovde ads on civic media. You hear them if you listen to the ads, Dom. And during that, they talk about the fact Eric Hovde does not support the Obamacare. But it's far worse than that. Hell, we've got the sound and the context. 2012, when he was running for U.S. Senate as a Republican from Wisconsin, you know, Yogi Berra, we're doing it all over again. And at the time, he was running against Tommy Thompson and others. This was a debate. And here is how he answered the question about the Obamacare. Play it for the people, Rich.
Are there any prongs of the Affordable Care Act that you support, specifically some of the ones that seem to be more popular, including the provision of covering young adults or coverage for pre-existing conditions?
No. I believe that the problem with our health care sector over the last 30 years has been ever-increasing government involvement.
Didn't age well. No, Obamacare was already on the books. And he might have had opposition to it, but lots of rich people don't give a damn about your kids. I mean, I'm sure his kids have insurance. He's rich. They're going to get the Cadillac care, Dom. But that 26 staying on your parents' health care? I mean,
pre-existing conditions, Crudy? I mean, come on. Talk about a low bar.
You know, when I was first politicized here in the state of Wisconsin, it was really my son's autism diagnosis. He suddenly had a pre-existing condition. And we found out, as I tried to go self-employed, you'll remember this chapter of my life,
yep,
lost our health insurance coverage because I had a kid with a pre-existing condition, a autism diagnosis. And here in the state of Wisconsin, there was no mandate that insurance cover autism. So part of my politicization, that's the right word, James Doyle, the former governor of the state of Wisconsin, actually burned a lot of political capital to push forth. First, they tried legislation, very popular. I mean, kids with autism deserve treatment. There's a lot of good reasons to invest in it on the front end because the kids have better outcomes on the back end and they don't become massive liabilities on the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin. So mathematically, fiscally, it was prudent legislation. I watched it, Dom. I watched it. Went through the Senate 26-4.
Ooh.
Scored. Well received. Passed. Mike Hipsch, Mike Hipsch killed it in the assembly late in the evening, like 1 o'clock in the morning, for the sake of extending this ability to deny pre-existing coverage care to kids with autism in the state of Wisconsin. Yeah, 1 year later, James Doyle put it in a budget and force-fed it back to the Republicans, and the autism mandate became law. And I saw how the sausage was made, man. I saw how these Republicans play ball. Now, Hipsch went on to be the DOA secretary for Scott Walker. Number one cabinet secretary. Because he was the right sort of an SOB. I saw that guy at Cheeseburger in Paradise one time in Milton. Oh, I wanted to... Oh, there's and, spilled my picture of beer all over your head.
And this is pre-existing conditions, man. I mean, the insurance companies are going to just... Nope, you have a pre-existing condition. We don't want you. So what, you're going to put them on to the social, you're going to socialize those like you do the federal workers, the state workers, the army, the older, the poor. Those are all socialized.
Well, Medicaid eventually provides care. There was an 18-month to two-year waiting list at that time. My understanding in Florida, the waiting list for care for autism, that's like 18 years and counting.
What?
Come back. More devil's advocates. That's Republican. That's DeSantis, right?
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Love it when you join the political party. Rich, lately screening your calls in the Slimming Black Dominic's collection. Thank you, Rich. 844-967-2789.
He didn't have devilradioswag.com wear on, but I do.
Yeah.
I'm also wearing the Slimming Black. It's sort of trending here in the studios. Black's a good color for all of us, in that we're all somewhat lazy and a little bit portly. Dom, I know it's not Wisconsin-centric, but do you see, before Kamala Harris, the VP, before she got on a plane the other day, a couple of her Secret Service agents got into a fisticuffs, a brouhaha, a brawl?
That can't be great for morale.
Now, they're separate from the vice president. It's not like she's directing them. They basically just follow and provide, you know, protective services.
Oh, she wasn't like running the fight club and taking action?
Well, we'll wait to see how the Gateway Pundit, the InfoWars, and all the other defaming right. news organizations, and I include you in that note, Fox News, we'll see how they cover it, Dom, but here's how the Daily Beast covered it. This is brief. The U.S. Secret Service officer was removed from their assignment this week after allegedly starting a brawl with fellow agents and Kamala Harris's security detail. You ever gotten in a fight with a dude at work? I mean, outside of me, of course.
Like a physical fight? No, man. No.
Have you ever been in a fight, Dom? You and Vince, yeah, did your brother?
Been years.
You guys scrap it up when you were boys?
Well, I mean, no. There would be no punching of the face or of the head region. You know, this beauty's got to last. You know, it's like Anchorman Fight Club. But sure, I've been in physical altercations in my life, yes.
The alleged incident reportedly took place 9 a.m. Monday at Joint Base Andrews, just outside of D.C. Harris wasn't present for the incident, but was en route to the area when things allegedly got nasty between the agents. The agitating agent, I'm guessing his name Dominic, was not named by authorities, and Harris was not publicly commented on the matter. The Washington Examiner, is that the rag that Scott Walker occasionally writes for? Is that the Washington
Times? I believe it
Times?
Is, yes.
Report said the agent at the center of the scuffle was armed and became aggressive with other agents before he was subdued, placed in handcuffs, and led away from the scene to medical personnel. Maybe he was having incident.
Maybe they tased his ass.
Maybe. It's unclear what allegedly set the agent off, and the Secret Service did not respond to a request for information. They probably don't. Now, VP Harris planned departure from the base to New York City for a Monday appearance on the Drew Barrymore Show went on without a delay, the Post reported. I got to tell you, I've been watching more and more of the Foxy News, just trying comparing and contrasting the coverage of the Trump trials. And we're going to turn to them in a minute. But, you know, it's been quite interesting. Mostly they've been hanging out on the college campuses, trying to agitate those crowds as much as they can to distract from the fact that their Cheeto Messiah sits as a defendant in a courtroom in New York City. And oral arguments going on today, earlier today, for hours before the U.S. Supreme Court. And I wouldn't say they went spectacular for the Trump side. You know, if he'd have been in the room, he'd have been interrupting. He'd have been grimacing. He might have been crying. But anyways, the Fox News coverage, I am pretty sure, considering how much they lambasted the VP for going on Drew Barrymore and some other lighter news product, you know, wouldn't call it something serious like the Devil's Advocates.
Well,
Walter Cronkite, you know, it was more of a podcast.
Meet the Press when it was good.
When was that? That was since Tim Russert died.
It's been a while, since Russert, man. Yeah. Tim was good.
It hasn't been good for a while.
I want Welker to do well. I want her to be good. It's just not great.
Did we meet her at the Orpheum Theater at a Bernie Sanders event? I think she was there.
Yeah. You know, man. You know me.
I think we also saw her at a Trump event, which begs the question. How are we covering this Trump event in Waukesha next Wednesday, Dom?
You know, I got to wash my hair before the show, so I won't be able to, you know, participate at the actual rally, but I'm happy to be here, ready to roll, with bells on at 3 p.m. You don't know, Devil's Advocate, 3 to 6 now. Dom joining right away.
And the speech is supposed to go off about 2 p.m., and then my understanding is Trump is supposed to be in Freeland, Michigan. He likes the free in the title, apparently. I'm surprised he didn't go to Fredonia for the speech. But he's going to the Waukesha Expo Center. Now, the last time I think we saw him was, I believe, at the Waukesha Fairgrounds. That was an outdoor venue. This will be indoors.
Hot. It was a hot, beautiful, hot day that day.
Well, I intend to be in Waukesha because I got no hair to wash on my chinny chin chin, but that doesn't take very long. So I will be there to meet the MAGA faithful. I'm going to embed in the crowd in some way, shape, or form. And I'll bring you all the coverage right here on the greatest radio show ever. And then Dom will roll in for showtime. Helicopter in, as is his custom. But I plan on being there, Dom. This could be my last chance to see defendant Trump before a big crowd. I mean, I love the fact that this guy's got trial on Monday and Tuesday. And on Wednesday, Waukesha.
When you got a day off in between your trial, I mean, where would you want to go besides Waukesha?
Do you come to Milwaukee often? More Devil's Advocates each and every day coming to you, Milwaukee, coming to you, Waukesha, on 540 a.m. If you catch us early on the stream, you are the real patriots. The rest of you that don't even know what I'm saying right now can join. Welcome, and Brewer fans, go Brew Crew.